Earl and Bubba were sitting on a fishing boat in Table Rock Lake. They're just quietly fishing, casting out there. Bubba says to Earl, "I think I'm going to leave my wife. She ain't talked to me for 2 months." And Earl said, "Bubba, you better reconsider. Women like that are hard to find." So I say that to say, I hope you don't say that at the end of this talk here, but I do want to talk about the power of a woman on a mission. In Luke 15, a famous chapter in the book of Luke, we have three grand parables. One of the most memorable is the parable of that we call the prodigal son. But in the middle of these parables is a parable that involves a woman. Now, Jesus launches the parables like oftentimes the parables come out of another conversation. The other conversation was the Pharisees had said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So in the light of these words that were meant to be degrading and dark and complaining about what Jesus was doing, he was going to illustrate what his mission was going to look like. And he was going to illustrate what God's heart would look like as he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so while the Pharisees thought that Jesus was behaving badly, he said, "This is how I'm going to behave." And he tells the story of the shepherd going after the lost sheep. And he comes to this parable that involves a woman, which further is inflammatory to the Pharisees because they had such a low view of women. And in Luke 15, he tells the story. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece that I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents." So this woman, it says, uses the word carefully, which means industriously, diligently, conscientiously. The woman on the mission in this story, she has spent her precious resources to use the oil to light the lamp. She's taken out a broom and she has swept the floor looking for this coin that might be hidden in the dirt. She is looking in the nooks and the crannies. And when the coin was found, she rejoiced and there was joy and she went and told her friends. Have you ever seen a mother that lost one of her kids? What kind of desperation, what kind of relentless searching goes on there? After my husband died in Colorado, I moved to Northwest Arkansas in 2005 and went on staff at a church there. And when I moved to Northwest Arkansas, which isn't that far from here in Springfield, I met Colleen Nick. Anybody remember her name? Her daughter, Morgan, was snatched off the ball field in 1995 in Alma, Arkansas, never to be seen again. Colleen started a foundation called the Morgan Nick Foundation, and she and I met. She was a simple, here we are 10 years later from her daughter being snatched, a simple, ordinary Arkansas woman, not highly educated, and she works for the last time I saw her is after I married Ed. We ran each other at the airport. She was returning from Washington, D.C., because she worked for the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. I read an article about her last year, and it's 21 years later after her daughter had been taken. Listen to what she said. "I plan someday to look at my daughter's eyes and say, I never quit fighting to find you. I plan someday to look at my daughter's eyes and tell her, I never quit fighting to find you." That is a woman on a mission. In this parable, most of you know, it's not uncommon for the Bible to speak about God and using metaphors of a woman. And here we find that the Pharisees had a low view of women. But this parable gave women value then and gives women value now. This parable also exposed the Pharisees' evangelism, which was come and see. We're monocultural. You come and follow our rules. You become part of who we are. You obey our laws. They live very isolated life because of their self-righteousness. He exposed them, and he exposed himself because the woman is a picture of him, that he would be diligent and attentive, and he would go low, and he would go high, and he would look for the people. He would cross gender and racial lines, from Zacchaeus to the woman at the well to the disabled. He was going to seek diligently. He would fight to find them. So this mission that Jesus gave his followers, it wasn't some abstract thing. It was what he lived out in his time on the earth. Do you know what this parable says to me as a woman? That I'm a partner in the Great Commission work. That I have been sent out to the Great Commission. And the truth be told, in our present American day, in the culture in which we live, women represent a greater potential for Great Commission growth because 55% of evangelicals are women. This parable also says to me that I am called to go passionately and diligently and faithfully, not because of the example of the woman, but because Jesus did for me. You know, women, we are created uniquely, and that's how God designed us. We are created, God created us male and female, equally in his image, equally in our personhood, but different in function. But we are created to be complements of one another, as different halves that would uniquely represent the image of God. Men represent God in a unique way, and a woman can represent God in her unique way. We see this completing idea very easily in marriage, that our distinctiveness is a beautiful image. It's a powerful image of the church. We even use the term complementarian. I want to suggest to you today that we need to see this distinctiveness in Great Commission work. That what if we were designed to complement each other on mission? God made women influential. We have a sphere of influence whether we recognize about ourselves or not. We are created by him. We have been given amazing resources, and he wants to use us in Great Commission work. As a matter of fact, I will say this. I think women can. He gives us a responsibility to follow him. He has things for us to do that only we can do. I think there are places that women can get to the gospel that men cannot. Like taking the gospel to a Muslim woman, mothering a young girl coming out of sexual trafficking. It's probably in a mother's heart first to begin to continue the conversation about foster care. A corporate woman who is in the workplace with other young females wanting to climb the corporate ladder, she can be there to help them with their career, but she can also be there to create those gospel conversations. Prison ministries, moms sharing the gospel with their children. How about some of these stories we've seen lately in Baptist press? The church lady influencing the woman that owned the strip club. Who's going to penetrate? Who's going to get into those populations? The power of woman on the mission is that she knows she's uniquely and distinctly designed to be, have a purpose of be on mission. A woman on a mission understands that she was part of the Great Commission call. God created this completely crazy system that he would take ordinary people, he would fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he would dispense them to spread the gospel. There was a word created in 1984 that we all use almost every day regarding the internet, but this was the system that Jesus gave us in the Great Commission. It's a viral system. It's meant to be spread on the ground. It's meant to be spread by ordinary people who have a story about transformation. A woman on a mission has a vibrant, personal treasure of the gospel. I learned a lot in a book by Elizabeth Elliot from Matthew 13:44, and she reads this and explains another way, but I want to talk about it today. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. I'm convinced of this, that maturing discipleship means that we treasure the gospel more. I was saved as a chubby 8-year-old little girl in House Springs, Missouri, and I was genuinely saved, but I had no idea of the power of the gospel seed that got planted in my life. I'm 60 years old now. The gospel is more vibrant and more real than it's ever been in my life, and I'm more willing to sell all that I have for the joy of it than ever before. I believe that Christians that internalize the gospel more and treasure it are more prone to share the gospel with other people. The secret poverty of our evangelism is the destitution of our relationship with the gospel, I'm afraid. The woman on mission is also willing to die to herself. It hit me the other day that going on mission, saying yes on mission, means saying no to something else. Is that not true? Being on mission means saying no to ourselves. We don't see a lot of that going on in our churches, do we? A woman on mission is willing to die to herself. Unfortunately, we live in a culture where people want to be identified with Jesus, but they don't want to be inconvenienced by him. You know what? I've watched women, and the longer I live, the more I'm amazed at the power of a woman. And I would never underestimate a woman on mission. Women are resilient and pragmatic and ingenious. They're entrepreneurs. They're self-starters. They're flexible. When I was driving to the airport when I was coming here, I was going down Airport Boulevard, Mobile, and I looked over and I saw one of the big mobile units of the Women's Resource Center, which is our crisis pregnancy ministry there in Mobile, huge unit that carries a ultrasound machine. Big thing, I looked over, and there is a little old lady sitting up in the wheelhouse of that, driving that situation. And I guarantee you, in a former life, she was not a truck driver. If you would have seen her, you would have known. And I thought, that is the power of a woman on a mission right there. God has put something on their heart. She's going to learn how to drive this big thing. And you know, I'm going to say this as a personal statement here, and I hope this is appropriate, but I can't help but think when men and women put the kingdom of God first and the advance of the gospel first, that we won't spend so much myopic time talking about women's roles in the church. We would be more interested in getting the gospel out and the kingdom of God advancing. So I'm going to say this. Ed Stetzer went over, and I'm going to cut mine short, Matt, to give that back to you. For the women in this room, I would say this to you. Get a broom. Get a lamp. Search high. Search low. Go to the dark corners. Get on mission. God redeemed you. He created you. He has a unique story in your life to put the gospel on display. Sheryl Sandberg says this is the best advice she ever got in her entire career, and I think this is great advice for a woman about going on mission. If you're offered a seat on a rocket ship, don't argue about what seat it is. Just get on board and go with it. I would say this to the men in the room. When you see a woman on mission sharing a powerful love, she's living under the authority of Christ, validate her, encourage her, empower her, and you might want to stay out of her way.